This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report, going to Kathmandu. Bells were jingling at 5 a.m. My window opened to a street that abutted a pond where a Buddhist prayer space set in the middle, on the other end were the Buddhist stuptas. Were the bells a kind of call to prayer or a melodious bicycle moving in the early morning to work? I'll never know. I was in the Patan district, an older section of Kathmandu. Waking up from time to time with jet lag, the city seemed so quiet. Other times, the silence was pierced by dogs barking singly and in packs, perhaps below me or maybe a kilometer away. I knew I was Kathmandu, but it felt like India, except when I listened to the different language cadences. I could be fooled, though. Everyone understood the Hindi that my colleague spoke. Indian rupees were taken as freely as Nepalese rupees. The fast food shops served roti. Signs advertised tandoori. I knew I wasn't in India, since I'd been unable to renew my 10-year Indian visa successfully for the last 3 years. Renewal in the time of Prime Minister Narendra Modi and the BJP, the right-wing communalist party ruling on a hyper-nationalistic anti-Muslim agenda, made it seem like politics, given his attack on nonprofits and any foreign ties other than the ones worn by his buddy President Trump, that it could have easily been incompetent since he privatized the visa process and had taken it out of the hands of consulates in the USA. Kathmandu had not been on any sort of list of places we sought to organize or had shortlisted to visit, but when violence and unrest racked Sri Lanka, where we'd planned to have the organizers' forum meet, it became the alternative location where I might be able to meet for several days with the principal organizers of Acorn India in Delhi, Mumbai, and Bengaluru. Bob Seger and his 1975 song was ringing in my ears on my journey to meet the Acorn India team. Some may not remember parts of the song where he sang, "I know my plane is due, the one that's going to Kathmandu, up to the mountains where I'm going to, if I ever get out of here, that's what I'm going to. Kathmandu, really, really going to, if I ever get out of here, if I ever get out of here, if I ever get out of here, I'm going to Kathmandu, oh." Take my word, I didn't remember every word of the song either, but I lived that song, and it was in my head thanks to Qatar Airways. My trip had started well enough. JetBlue got me squared away to JFK, I boarded Qatar Airways to their hub in Doha, and all was well until arriving at their five-year-old $17 billion airport. My flight reservation, booked through Expedia, had me leaving at 5:15 p.m. and landing at 1 a.m. in Kathmandu, so I had about an hour to make the plane, so I needed to hustle. There was nothing on the departure board at all. A security guard pointed out the information desk. They couldn't have been more helpful, as they told me for the first time that, no, my flight left in 8 hours at 12:40 a.m. and didn't arrive until 8:15 a.m. As Seger sang, "I know my plane is due, the one that's going to Kathmandu, up to the mountains where I'm going to, if I ever get out of here." It doesn't end there. Once Qatar spent $17 billion with 6 years of overruns on their airport, mall monstrosity with its wide and empty concourses, it seems determined to make Doha the Bermuda Triangle of air travel. They sent me a note Friday night in Kathmandu telling me they'd also unilaterally changed my flight time from 2 a.m. Monday morning to 8:50 p.m. Sunday evening so that I could land in Doha at 11:45 p.m. and spend the night walking through Desolation Row at Hamad International Airport. Make that more of a travel warning than a travel tip. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.